will destroy them all.
Hello, and welcome to The Coordinate, an Attack on Titan podcast. I'm Tyler, and the first thing I want to do is apologize. We took a week off by accident, and almost a second week, because this episode's late. But yeah, so if you're not in the Discord, Bill got sick, so he couldn't do his episode last week, and then I was going to try and do it for him, but then I was really busy. And then this week, we were both just really busy, and yeah. Anyways, I'm going to talk about both of the episodes. Today, I'm going to be talking about the first OVA, Ilsei's Notebook, and the second OVA, A Sudden Visitor, The Torturous Curse of Adolescence. First, let's talk about Ilsei Longnar's Notebook. Yeah, that is the most made-up sounding name I've ever heard, and I've been pronouncing it wrong forever. I didn't realize it was pronounced Ilsei. I've always called it like Isles. I don't know why, that just seems right to me. But yeah, every time I watch an Attack on Titan anime dubbed, I'm like, oh crap, I don't know how to read. Because like everybody's name's just said completely differently than I have ever pronounced it while reading. So I'm watching these dubbed because they were just released on Crunchyroll in the dubbed format for the first time ever. So I thought, hey, let's check out these voice actors because I've mostly seen the series subbed. And yeah, they're pretty good. I like them. Let's talk about a little background for this first OVA. So it is based on a chapter, like a side story chapter thing from the manga. It was released in, I think I saw volume 5. So this didn't come out when the manga is coming out monthly. This was a bonus thing that was in the collective volume. And so it came out during the Female Titan arc, just to kind of set, you know, what everyone knew at the time. Like, we didn't know that Titans were people. We knew about Titan shifters, but not about every single one being a person. Even though in retrospect for me, like, it seems like it should have been very obvious from the beginning, but like I don't know, I just didn't know. The other thing to note is that when this takes place, I think it's titled like episode 3.25, something like that, but it takes place in between like the middle of the training arcs. So there's two episodes of the training arc. I think it's episode 3 and 4. It takes place somewhere in between then. This is like heavily expanded from what's in the manga. In the manga, basically it starts out with the events of Ilsei, that's how you say it. It starts out with the events of Ilsei's journal. So it just like reads, like we just see her writing and all the things are happening. And then at the very end of it, we see that Levi and Hanji are the ones reading it. But yeah, in this, it starts out a bit further, and we get to see, this is basically the, like, proto-scouts catching Sunny and Bean, you know? Like, it's basically the pre-that. So Hanji really wants to catch one of these Titans, and no one wants to give it the time, even though she knows, like, the only way to get to know their weaknesses is to capture one and study it. Which I'm assuming they've had to have done before. They do specifically say that they've done it before, and I think they like lost a lot of people or something. Yeah, I mean, they have to have done this before because they know their weak spots, their nape. I'm pretty sure they know that at this point because, you know, they're training over and, you know, Aaron and everyone's training to take down their weak point. And they know that they don't poop. Because they don't have the equipment for it. Like, how, when you're fighting a Titan, are you really trying to peek in between those cheeks and like look for a butthole? Like, they've had to have, you know, examined one up close, and I feel like they disappear so quickly when you kill one that they couldn't have looked then. Like, who's gonna think, okay, Hanji would think to go and look for a butthole, but I don't think anybody else would. Yeah, so no one wants to give her the time of day to capture a Titan because they lost a lot of people getting to where they're at and all this. So yeah, she goes out, she finds an abnormal, and he's a real short dude. He's a small Titan, and yeah, it turns out he's real abnormal. This redneck guy that didn't want to help her. I don't know if he comes off as redneck in the subbed, in the original Japanese, but in the dub, they make him redneck. And that's interesting. That's an interesting take. I'm sure he's like from the sticks, you know, regardless of which language you watch this in. So he tries to kill it, and Hanji's like, no. And so he hesitates, and then he almost gets killed, but then Levi kills it. And then they find that, you know, this abnormal Titan had been guarding this body, essentially, and they find her notebook. And it says, Ilse's notebook, and I always thought it said Isles, but it says Ilse's notebook, and inside of it we find out that her name is Ilse Longnar, which, again, just the most made-up name I have ever heard. Longnar. I'm sorry, if your name is Longnar, I apologize. That's probably a real name, and I don't know. I think it's just like the cadence of it, Ilse Longnar, just sounds made up to me, which it is made up, so there's a reason for it. But, so, in Ilse's notebook, she has documented this Titan that is currently guarding her body speaking, and that's the main point. But in detail, she lost like her whole squad died, then she lost her horse, her ODM gear got destroyed, and this was a year ago. She was out in the previous Survey Corps mission. Yeah, so she's screwed. She's just trying to run back to Wall Maria. I'm gonna edit that out. So yeah, she's trying to get back to the wall, but she doesn't, it's a big chance, so she's like, I'm just gonna document everything I see so that one day when someone finds this notebook, it will have been, you know, not for nothing. She's like running and writing, and I'm amazed that they could read anything she wrote, because I can't imagine, I can't walk and write, so I can't imagine running and writing. Her handwriting has to be either amazing or horrible for it to, you know, not make a difference. Yeah, so everything's going fine. She's just like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, haven't seen a Titan, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh shit, there's a Titan, because one comes out, and then she runs, and then it like kind of gets her trapped. And then it starts speaking to her, and it's like, it bows before her, and it's like, says something about a subject of Ymir, which I think is probably the first time, or one of the first times we've heard that phrase before, and it doesn't want to eat her. It does kill her eventually. It like freaks out, it like tries to pull its own face off, because I guess it's trying to resist the urge to kill her, I don't really know. It's got her head in its mouth, and presumably... she bites down. It doesn't show it in the anime. I didn't double check if the manga shows it. Let's see. I think I have it pulled up right now. Nope. No exploding head gore. I thought there could be in the manga, but nope, it's not there. But yeah, so she dies. But she's like rioting the whole time she's in its mouth, which is crazy. Again, girl has got skills. But yeah, so then the Titan doesn't eat her. It just like puts her in a tree trunk and hangs out near her body. Like, I don't know, protecting it. And that's super weird. It would be like, I guess the point of this, since we didn't know Titans were people at this point, is maybe to be a big hint at that, or maybe a big hint that they're intelligent. But it's strange because we don't see the only other Titan I can think of that we see speaking is Connie's mom, and it doesn't say that much. And this kind of really doesn't go anywhere, which is strange. The other information we get in here is it mentions a subject of Ymir, and we find out this later. I can't exactly remember where. I know there is a picture that you can compare and you can see the people. But so this Titan is actually one of Ymir, the freckled Ymir, the person Ymir, not the slave girl Ymir that becomes a god. Just like the normal one that's friends with Krista, aka Historia. You know, she was like the leader of a cult at one point, and so this Titan is one of her followers, so he's that kind of follower, like subject of Ymir, you know, so that's cool. Maybe it's in the episodes about her backstory that we see this Titan be created, but I know you can trace it back, and this is one of those. So I guess what happened is this Titan saw this woman, Ilse Longnar, and thought that she was the Freckles Ymir. They never really explain it to the point that we're at in the anime. They never explain what makes people turn into abnormals. Like, why is Connie's mom able to recognize Connie? Why is this Titan able to, you know, presumably he thinks he recognizes this woman as Ymir. The only other example I can really think of is possibly, and this is kind of a stretch, is that Grisha's first wife, you know, she turns into a Titan and she says she's going to find him wherever, you know, out there. And she kind of attempts to, because, I mean, she goes to his house and kills his current wife. But presumably maybe she was like looking for him. I don't know. Maybe it's like if they have a certain amount of like dedication towards like a thought, that one singular thought goes with them as a Titan. I'm trying to think of some other rationalization, but I can't really. I don't know, maybe it's like a lizard brain type thing where like they, nah, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I don't know. It's never explained. This doesn't really go anywhere. Yeah, for that, it makes it kind of like meh to revisit. I did enjoy seeing Witt's animation style again. It makes everything seem happier, even though it's still like something horrific happening. I don't think Witt's style would have made sense for season 4 because it's so dreadful. Like, just everything's bad all the time. It would have been interesting to see, but it was amazing to go back to that original theme. That original opening is fun to revisit. And I kind of expect, I'm going to be really surprised if this doesn't happen, if they don't do like a cover of that song as the opening for the final season, the final part of the final season, you know, final season part 3, because it'll be the 10th anniversary around the time that the show ends. Yeah, the 10th anniversary of the anime. So I feel like, you know, you gotta go for it. Why not? Yeah, that is all I have to say about this one. I don't know. I found it interesting at the time, but seeing as the whole talking Titan thing doesn't really go anywhere, you know, they're all people, but why is this one able to talk? I don't know. What makes an abnormal abnormal? I don't know. I wish I did. I wish maybe one of the, I've never read any of the encyclopedias that they've released. Every now and then, there's Attack on Titan encyclopedias. I've never read any of them. Maybe they give some detail in there, but I kind of don't think they do, because I think that would have filtered into like my general Attack on Titan knowledge, because, you know, reading Reddit and Wikipedia and whatever the fandom page is. Yeah, so we are going to go to an ad. Maybe it'll be our new sponsor and Bill will be giving you the ad, but it probably won't. It'll probably be me. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the second OVA.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Welcome back. We're now going to be talking about A Sudden Visitor, The Torturous Curse of Adolescence, which is an OVA that I enjoyed a lot more than the first one. And this OVA might not be for everyone. It doesn't have the same tone as most of Attack on Titan. You know, it's a goofy one, and it's cool because, so if you've never read any of the volumes of Attack on Titan, like the manga volumes, the collected volumes, at the end of each one, Isayama draws like a two-page, well, it's like a full page, you know, like you open it up and it's like both pages you see are covered in this one thing. And it's a fake preview for the next volume, and they're usually just like jokes. And so basically this OVA combined several of those into one story. And so the fake previews that it combines are, we have one of Sasha cooking, and then we have the like main one where it gets its title from, which is with John's mother entering his room without knocking. And this is a little different than what we see in the anime version, because I'm pretty sure the implication in the manga is that John was doing something a little dirty, because he's like under the sheets hiding something, sort of like, I don't, it, when his mom comes in the anime, they make it that he is drawing like a picture of Mikasa, which is also weird that he's doing that under a blanket, like hiding it. And also it's even further weird because if you take how all of this plays out, it seems like he shouldn't know who Mikasa was at the time, because he's living with his mom, which means it's pre the training arc, which is when he would have met Mikasa. So did he have like a vision of Mikasa and that's why he loves her and thinks she's so hot? Maybe. Okay, so then the other one is there's one where it's just like, next time in Attack on Titan, Armin hurts his leg going downstairs. So yeah, that's one of them. And then there's another one with Sasha slapping and elbowing Reiner. And then there's one with like fake Titan forms for Mikasa, John, Armin, Historia, and Connie, which we see in this. But yeah, I've never seen this one before, so that's probably another reason I liked it so much. But there's just so many things that I've heard reference of or seen like GIFs of, and like I didn't know exactly where they came from, but now I do. Like there's the, I've seen the special John opening of Attack on Titan, but I didn't know it came from this. I didn't know where it came from, but I kind of love it. It's really funny just to see the opening, but they focus on John instead of Aaron. That's great. I love Mr. Omelet. That's a new thing for you know, that doesn't come from the manga at all. Like John's mom just makes this omelet called Mr. Omelet, and it's super cute. Another big moment for me was I had seen the GIF of Pixis flying through the sky, and I didn't know where that came from, but yeah, it comes from this. So like, this is really just like they took all of those fake previews. They made Attack on Titan like super anime tropey in a way that it's not typically. And yeah, the results are fun. Like it's not something that, you know, if you're like, I really need, you know, like another hit of Attack on Titan, it's not something that's going to deliver on that. But if it's something where, you know, you want to see like a funny parody version of Attack on Titan, like you like the characters and you just want to see them have fun for once, it's that. And yeah, I super enjoyed it. So yeah, if you didn't watch it, I'll tell you the basic plot line. So we start out, we have, it's basically, it's a John-centric thing, first of all. But we start out, John's mom walks in on him in his bedroom, like drawing a picture of Mikasa under a blanket, which is weird. And she's just like, he's being rude to her, like saying that she should have knocked. And like, he's just being a real ass. And he's like, one day I'm going to join the military police and I'm going to have the life I want inside the interior. And he just seems like a spoiled brat. Which I guess he was at that time, you know, like that's kind of the picture we're painted of John during the training arc. It's kind of hard to remember back then because he's become such a different character. Like he's a character that I really like. And yeah, being reminded of him being kind of like an ass back in the day is interesting. Speaking of ass, in the opening, it has Armin doing the like narrator stuff. And he's like, that's the day that John realized his room was a pin and he was a horse. The joke being that John has a horse face. I don't see. I think John looks fine. Stop being so mean to John all the time. But anyways, so did I mention Mr. Omelet? Yeah, his mom brings in an omelet and she's like, I got Mr. Omelet. And he's like, go away, mom. Mr. Omelet was a thing he loved when he was a kid. And as far as I could tell, like, it's just an omelet. Like, she didn't even bother to put a face on it. That's what I was expecting, to look down and see like an omelet with like, I don't know, like bacon or something making facial features. But no. None at all. So then we get to, they're all back in his hometown doing like a training mission in the city. And they're fighting like the, you know, the plywood fake titans. And Connie and Sasha keep stealing John's kills, so he's going to get a bad score. So they get into an argument. And then Pixis decides that the only way to, you know, settle this is for them to have a cook-off. So then John's crew, who he has Armin and Annie with him. I feel like there's a fourth person that I'm forgetting, but so they go out and they're trying to find this legendary boar that people are like, I wish someone would take care of this boar. What's the boar doing? Has it been killing people? Is it messing up like the farmlands and, you know, digging holes and stuff? I don't know. They don't tell us, but there's this legendary boar, a very anime thing for, you know, trope for there to just be like this legendary creature that someone needs to deal with. And so John's like, yeah, I'm going to take this down and it's going to be special meat and I'm going to win this cooking competition. But then Sasha, you know, gets to it first. Sasha is a hunter and John is not. And it's at this point that Armin asks John, like, hey, do you even know how to cook? And John's like, of course not. Why would I know how to cook? I don't have time for that. So yeah, that happens. And then John's like, oh, I got to come up with something different. So then he comes to the realization that, well, okay, there's this part where his mom comes to visit in the barracks and she's like, why didn't you come visit me and all this? And he's rude to her and everyone, especially Aaron's like, you need to be nicer to your mom. And I guess, you know, it hits John hard because Aaron's mom was killed by Titans. Like, yeah. This is Aaron's biggest part in this episode, by the way, too. But anyway, so John comes to the realization that he should be nice to his mom, which makes him think, like, oh yeah, I should make Mr. Omelette for Pixis to eat. So that's what he does. But first, Sasha and Connie's dish gets presented, and it's like some meat. And everyone's just like, oh, but it's just meat. Like, it's, I think this is funny because it reminds me of like Food Wars. But Food Wars are making like these extravagant dishes. But in Attack on Titan, food is very scarce. So people are just like, it's meat. Like, they don't care what kind of meat it is, really. They're just like, it's meat. Like, they're just excited for meat. So Pixis, like, takes a bite. Apparently it pairs really well with the wine that he's drinking, because Pixis is drunk all the time. He's not drinking that Marley wine at the time. But it pairs really well, and he has, like, a foodgasm, which is a very Food Wars thing. If you've never watched Food Wars, it gets a little risque when they make food sexual, and that's cool. Attack on Titan makes food murderous. Like, Pixis flies up into the air and then starts, like, slaying titans. Like, he's like a rocket, but then he's slaying titans. And then, for some reason, a bunch of people turn into titans. Like, we get, like, Armin, Historia, I forgot who else, Connie, John, Mikasa, they turn into titans, and that's how that ends. But meanwhile, in, like, reality, Pixis is just sitting there, and everyone's like, he hasn't said anything yet. So he loved that first dish. So you'd think that Sasha's going to win, but then John pulls out Mr. Omelette, and everyone's like, it's just an omelette. And it is just an omelette, but I guess it was, like, made with love or something, because Pixis eats it, he likes it, and John wins. And actually, okay, I remember the reason he awarded John the victory. It's because it was like a good late night snack, because they're doing this at night, whereas the meat, you know, upset his stomach. The omelette was light, and, you know, it settled well in his tummy. And yeah, that is basically that episode. It's real stupid, it's real fun, at least for me. We do get, like, some little scenes here and there of Mikasa and Eren in the background. Like, they take a very much backseat, and I thought that was fun, just seeing them, like, doing mostly menial tasks. Oh, another preview chapter we get is in here, which is Mikasa, like, boxing. That's apparently how she works out. Yeah. So that's in there. What else is there? I think that's about it. So yeah, that's it for Attack on Titan for the week. I do have a minor update about what we've been doing up to this point, where we're trying to find, like, a new anime to replace Attack on Titan once it ends. I finally watched Bill's favorite anime of all the ones we've watched, 86, and I have to agree, it's awesome. I really want to watch more. So Bill, I think when we get back to it, maybe watch a couple more, then pick 2, 3, 4 of our favorites, watch a couple more episodes of those specifically, mainly just because I would like to watch more of 86, because it was really the last episode of 86 that I watched, which is episode 3, that, like, hooked me. Up to that point, I was like, this is okay. Like, the kind of duality where they would show, like, a scene from the 86 side and then from the handler side, I didn't really do much for me because there wasn't, like, that much change in between the two. But then the very end of the third episode, when, like, someone on one of the 86 dies, and, like, this other one just calls the handler out for, like, not really doing anything. Like, she thinks she's, like, this good person, because she doesn't call them the 86. She, like, and treats them like people, but she's not doing anything to actually help them, and she never even asks for their actual names. Like, yeah, like, that made me very curious to see where this story goes. So I say check out the 86. I know we got some feedback from Benjamin over in the Discord, which you can join by going to probablywork.com/discord or link in the show notes. Yeah, we got some feedback from Benjamin. He wasn't into it. The episode structures are kind of weird, whereas in they do credits and then there's, like, 2-3 more minutes. And that is where this part that really hooked me was at. It was after the credits. So Benjamin, I don't know if you saw it, but if you didn't, maybe give it another shot. But if you did, you know, I don't know, different strokes for different folks. But that's it for the week from me. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Bill will be back next week talking about whatever the next OVA is. I think it might be. I looked it up and it's not what I thought it was. It is something called Distress, which I have no clue what it is. So I'm curious to see what that is. And Bill will be back next week talking about that, presumably. Until next time, don't get eaten.